You may not know this, but we have a magician sitting over there who can hold his breath for more than 4 minutes.
You told me that last night, and I was pretty impressed.
Yeah. Danny Ray, is that still true?
That is definitely not true anymore.
But it was.
But it was.
It was.
It was.
It
was.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today.
So I trained for a long time for underwater escapes. I started doing underwater escapes when I was in eighth grade in the most...
Eighth grade?
Yeah, what? The dumbest way ever, like having people duct tape me, throw me in a pool.
I don't think I know that. That's terrible.
It was a terrible idea.
These are things that give parents nightmares that their children may be doing in the eighth grade.
Children, please don't do this at home.
Duct tape your hand? What?
I just read stuff about Houdini, and I thought I could do this.
Oh, my goodness.
Thankfully, later on, I was trained by some of the best escapologists in the world. But here's like a whole different side of things now, is now I'm having breathing problems, and I don't think I could hold my breath for a minute anymore.
Really?
And it's really like sad to me, like as we age, like the things that we have to deal with. Because I did underwater escapes in my show for 12-ish years, different ones.
And you could hold your breath for 4 minutes.
About 4:43, I think. Somewhere in there was like my longest breath hold.
You know this. You open your book. Danny Ray is here with his wife, Kimberly. No, I can't make your wife disappear. You opened the book with the story of the underwater trick not going right, and you said you're under there 4 minutes and 37 seconds.
We're like, who is this guy?
Are you crazy?
crazy
is a good.
It was insane. There's two times that thing has gone wrong, and that I talk about one of them in the book, but it was legitimately terrifying. And I could think of like a few things that I do not want to do in terms of like how to die. That's one of them. And I was like, I really thought this was it. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we want to, you know, we've never had a magician, illusionist on the show. We want to see a magic trick.
All right.
Nice.
We're gonna make it happen.
Let's see. Here, I'm
moving this way.
We got all John's right. gonna follow you with his camera and make all sure right. everybody in the world knows how you do this.
Oh, all my secrets right there on John's camera. Okay. So let's start out with Dave. Dave, here. Let me have you just reach. You're happy just with that. I can stop right there.
Ooh.
Ann's happy.
Ooh.
Dave's not happy.
I'm not happy yet.
This is Ann.
I could do that.
Ann's happy.
I could never do that.
You couldn't do that. It'd take you a little bit. But here, reach in and grab any card you want.
Okay. You already know what card I grabbed?
I could if I wanted to, but I'm going to try not to think about your 10 of clubs.
Check it.
How did you know that?
What?
Because they're not marked.
So we're going to cut this magic trick a little short because this is audio and you can't see it. And it's a visual magic trick. But if you want to see the full magic trick, the whole thing, and it's great, it's on our YouTube channel, Family Life YouTube. Go there. So honestly, we're going to talk about marriage, you know, how to have a magical marriage. But being able to do that.
Yeah.
Hours? Years? You mentioned even one of your chapters, practice.
Yeah.
What's that look like?
So I started practicing when I was 10 years old. I got a book called Close Up Magic by Harry Lorraine, and I just got hooked at that point and started working my way through that book and found that there were things in there I wasn't able to do. And so I kind of, you know, skip over those. And then as I got further along, I was able to do more and more until maybe by the time I was 15 or 16, I had mastered all of the pieces in there. And I find that really true to with our marriages as well, is if you're just starting out, there's going to be things that you can't have mastered yet. You know, it's going to take time. And I think that we all want to be further down the road, and we want to be even 27 years in, there's still things where I'm like, man, I wish I handled this better. I wish.
Why are we still doing this?
I wish I was better at encouraging her when she's down. I wish I was better at just different things. And so I think those are things where I look at the parallels between like practicing. But yeah, as a kid, I'd practice anywhere from like 4 hours all the way up to like 8 to 10 hours a day. Wow. I had an hour bus ride to school every day. So there was definitely 2 hours for sure. And then I was pretty good at math. So I'd listen for like the first 5 minutes and then I'd work in the back of the room, you know, for an hour. So
as I think about you, you know, working and practicing, perfecting tricks, I actually did one magic rope trick.
Ooh. In a
circle. I mean, and here's my point. Some guy used a car dealer. He said, I sell cars and I do this. And he taught me this trick. I'm like, I'm going to use that in a sermon. It took me hours. You know, and it was a very simple, you'd laugh your head off. And a first grader could do it. But I didn't quit. I didn't quit. And by Sunday, I had it and it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I think there's a principle there because I'm sure there's times you want to quit. This magic trick is never going to work. But and marriage is the same way. You want to quit. You want to give up. Your parents did. My parents did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think in some ways, my dad would say, I wish we wouldn't have, but they did.
Right.
How would you apply that to your marriage? Because I know there's times you said yesterday you struggled.
Yeah.
You hung on there. You made it work. Now you're living a magical marriage. So what would you say to somebody saying, I don't think it's worth, I think it's time to quit?
One of the principles we've had from the beginning, really, is divorce is not an option. Hmm. So if you go into marriage knowing that, which is countercultural now, right? So if you go in, like, there's no other option.
So our podcast that we mentioned earlier called We Do Whatever It Takes is really our mantra for our marriage. And so to somebody in that situation is, have you really tried to do whatever it takes to create a great marriage? So early on, I was a pastor at a church and we were struggling a lot. And we got into an argument and we could not figure out like a solution. And so it was embarrassing, but I was like, we're going to do whatever it takes. Let's go to a pastor and talk to him. And lo and behold, he was able to help us to navigate and see things that we couldn't see.
Yeah.
And then there was other situations where I had struggled with pornography as a child. I don't even know as a child, like I think it wasn't a struggle. When I became a believer, I realized like this is something that needs to stop. Mm. And it didn't. And so when we got married, that came to the surface and we didn't have solutions. And so it's like, but it was putting a lot of tension, a lot of strain on our marriage. And so it was like, okay, we need to go to a counselor and see somebody else who has a different perspective and give ideas, tips, tricks, strategies on how to make things better. And so to somebody who's, you know, struggling to make it through, I would just say, I think you listen to something like this and you assume, oh, we've got it all together. I'm here to say, we don't have it together.
No.
We are better now than we were, but there's times I think any couple wants to throw it in where the pressures are high, the stress is there. But reach out to a friend, reach out to a pastor, reach out to a counselor, reach out to somebody to be able to help you. And sometimes it's just getting through one more day and then, you know, you live another day to fight for your marriage and fight for your family.
I mean, Kimberly, talk a little bit about Danny's struggle with the porn thing.
That's what I was going to say, too. We're talking to more and more couples, especially Gen Z and millennials that have just, they've grown up with their phones in their pockets and they easily access any kind of porn on their devices. And it's a deal. It's hard. And it's hard for couples to navigate through that of, when do you just keep giving grace? When do you need help? What did that look like for you guys?
Definitely hurt initially, right? Which is
this early in marriage?
Yeah, it was our first year of marriage. Just growing up, there was pornography around the house. Like, I think today it's so much more accessible. But at that time, it was just a normal part of
magazines.
Yeah,
things, right?
Whatever. Stuff. So 17, became a believer, kind of threw all that stuff out that I had. And so it was, I'm going to be clean. I'm going to do this. But our first year of marriage, the place I worked, I passed an adult shop every day. And then one day I was like, oh, I'm going to go in there. and immediately just had like all these regrets and like, what am I doing? This isn't who I am. We're married now. Why am I not satisfied with my wife? Like what, like all these questions that I was just wrestling through. And then that first year we had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Am I going to keep this a secret? And it was a real like deal. Like I was like, this, I live in a world of secrets. I could do this. And then it was like, that's going to change our marriage. I was like, I need to share. And it was embarrassing.
Yeah. Were you afraid of her response?
I think that was one of the things I was afraid of. I think there was a lot of multiple levels. Like I was studying to be a pastor at that time. Yeah. And does this, you know, take away that possibility? Does this ruin our marriage? Even though it's first year, like, am I not who I'm saying? Like, there's just all of this mixed insecurities and fears. And yeah, so that's kind of some of the backstory of that.
And so when he tells you, because I had this conversation with Ann, we put it in our marriage book.
Yeah.
And I was scared. And yeah. I had a secret. I even had a secret from the three guys I was in accountability with for a while. But then when I told her, it didn't go well. I mean, it was the right thing to do, but it didn't. It wasn't, oh, okay, we're good, and I'm going to forgive you. It was a journey that started.
But I'm thinking for Kimberly, too, it's like to think that, oh, he stopped somewhere. Like, I think all of it would be painful.
Yeah. It's hard now just to look back on that and to remember how that all felt, and it feels really, really far away, to be honest, at this point. But I think God's healing in that. One of the reasons even for marrying Danny is his honesty. Mm-hmm. There's only one area that he doesn't tell me about, and that's the magic. And I learned early on to be okay with that. I now it would ruin it if I knew.
There are a couple things that I've done that are terrifying. One, which is on Penn and Teller.
go watch that.
Those are the a couple of the secrets I have shared, or when my life is on the line.
Okay, that's true. So he's even shared that. If his life is on the line with a magic trick, then
you've
he's
asked.
Sure.
I need to know.
Yeah, and like, do I need to dive into the water to free you?
Exactly.
Or in that type of situation.
I would share if it was necessary.
So I did have that set up for our marriage. I knew he'd told me. So porn was not a surprise after we were married, right? Mm. So that was huge. If you are about to get married, or you're listening and you're not married yet, you have a chance to share that stuff before. Because really, at least I knew what I was getting into, if you will. Like, I knew this was a possibility. Now, when Danny shared that, I stopped at this place, this adult bookstore, and I'm sure I was shocked. And yeah, I thought it was probably something of the past and didn't think we would be dealing with. Definitely the insecurities, like most women, but now it goes vice versa. Yeah. So, yeah, am I not good enough? Why would he want to look at anybody else? And, you know, all those questions. And do you remember my reaction?
I'm sure I have, like, things mixed together of, because it wasn't like it's a solo
later.
Conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the struggle went on for a while and trying to figure out how to deal with that and how to overcome. And I feel like you became really gracious in your response, whether that was your initial, because I do remember
it definitely was not my
initial anger towards me with
and
like
hurt. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's say a spouse, with whether the husband or the wife, comes to the other person with a secret. When the response is grace, what does that feel like in comparison to a response of anger?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you can necessarily control the outcome. It may just come, I just came out of my mouth. But now I wish I would have taken, now that I'm older, I wish I would have taken a minute, walked away and said, I need to process this without just going crazy. It was for you guys in this situation, it was both guys coming to your wife. Like,
we were in our 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying you can't process it, but we had no experience. We didn't know what to do.
Nobody was talking about it back then either.
No, that's, yeah.
But
that's
true when for you us. Give a, as a, if a spouse gives us response of grace, what does that feel like?
It just hits different when somebody, when you expect there to be like hurt or upset or frustrated or why is this happening again? Because I'm already beating myself up for all those reasons. And so for her to give grace in that, like it's hard to express like how overwhelmingly beautiful and thankful I have been in those situations where she's given me grace. Like it's, grace is this really uncommon experience that we've learned to experience more and more in our marriage of giving each other grace. But in life, it's not too common. You don't hit somebody's car and they come out and like, hey, I just want to pray with you. And I know you didn't mean to. Let me just like lift you up. Right? You know, like it's like, you know, so I've been really thankful for the grace and humbled by that.
Yeah, I don't remember how it switched, but at some point it did. I stopped being angry and hurt as if Danny was doing this to me. Yes. That wasn't the intent.
It wasn't
personal. No, there were habits there. There were like there's a whole lot that goes into it, right? And even the brain wanting the chemicals, and I won't go into all of that, but there's a lot more behind it than we realize. And like he said, he was beating himself up already. That was so true and so evident that it was like, what am I adding to that? That's not helpful. He really, at some point, I was able to go, okay, wait a minute. He needs a cheerleader. He needs somebody in his corner, right? And that we're fighting this together.
My thought as I was listening to you guys and what you asked is when you receive grace, I got grace from you. It just took
later.
A while. You know, it was a journey. I think on our side, and it could be the man, it could be the woman, whoever's at fault, feels like you just connected with a partner now. She is now going to help me.
Yes.
And it's not a naive grace where it's like, okay, no big deal. I'll help you. No, it's a educated grace. It's like, I'm going to give you grace.
Yeah.
With a plan.
But what's the plan?
How do we do this together?
Do we need to sit down with a counselor? Do we need to connect this to your past? Do we need to understand the brain neural pathways? Do we need accountability? Yep. All the above.
Yeah.
It isn't just, oh, okay, thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
Tell me next time. It's like, okay, I'm going to give you grace and I want to walk with you. Can I be your partner?
And what
will
could,
you
what
be
could
honest
that look
with
like?
Me and not keep secrets and what other pieces you put in? And that's a victory plan.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that to put in the pieces, give grace with a plan. And also
like
to
that.
Have, I like that I wasn't the only one that Dave was sharing this with or the battle. I knew that he had some other guys that he was sharing it with that would probably go into more detail. Because sometimes I didn't need the detail of the specifics of maybe what he had seen.
That's true, yeah.
It wasn't good or healthy for me, but I think it is really important, as you guys talked about, to not have secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's safety that we have an opportunity to provide, right? If we want the truth, I do. Most people do want the truth from our spouse, right? We have an opportunity to be a safe place for them to share. Right. So if I have something that is scary to share with Danny, if he's not a safe place, am I going to go back there to share again? I'm not going to want to. Right. So I think after years of learning about that.
And I think with you learning to be safe and to give grace was able to unpack like there's, you know, like the reality like of my backstory is my biological father went to prison for some pretty horrendous things. And the first thing I remember seeing in a movie theater with him when I was like 4 years old was, you know, an R-rated movie, but I can remember the sex scenes in that movie.
And you're so four
sad.
Years old.
4 years old.
It's
heartbreaking. And then, you know, there was sexual abuse from the time I was around 8 to 12. And then in pornography was way before puberty. And I think for a lot of listeners out there, there's probably like this mix. It's not just, you know, oh, I watch porn. That's it. Like it's connected to all these things in your past and current struggles. And then even as I you know, became an adult and a believer, am I going to repeat these things? And that became a big question mark in raising kids and trying to navigate these things in our 20s, you know, was really difficult. But as she was able to give grace, I'm able to, not that I couldn't have opened up, but it felt like she's safe. I can share some of the things that I would never want to share with anybody, to kind of put that front up even to her. And so was able to start to navigate some of those deeper areas. And, and through counseling, we were able to work through.
I remember somebody asking me, do you regret that Dave has shared everything with you?
Oh.
Because it's so painful. Because she was walking through some painful things of a confession that her husband had made. And I remember saying, at the time, it was so hard, but I know him now. I know the good, I know the bad, the ugly. He sees all of me, and it's the grace that God has given us. It's the gospel of Christ, that we see the flaws in each other, and yet we still forgive, and we still give grace, and we still walk side by side as partners in the battle with taking the gospel to the world. Okay. And there's something beautiful in our brokenness, that we need Jesus so much, and that we can share our deepest secrets with somebody that will love us, even while seeing the messiness.
Yeah, and I'm glad you know, you put a chapter in your book.
Me too.
I love the title, Secrets Kill. Magicians have secrets, marriages don't. Because, you know, I didn't come to Christ till later in my life. I was a junior in college. And I had a dad who had a stack of porn in our garage. He had affairs with his girlfriends. And literally, I didn't remember, 5, 6 years old, took me on trips with his girlfriends while still married to my mom. So that was my past, right? So I get to college, and I'm like, I will never be like my dad. And I didn't know the Bible at all. I did not know the Bible said sins of the father. In Exodus 20, Ten Commandments, we'll visit in the third and fourth generation. And I'm convinced I've never become like him. And if I looked in the mirror in my junior year in college, I was becoming him. I'm drinking, I'm partying, I'm womanizing, I'm all that. And it's like, you're going to copy your father's sins, even if you weren't in the room watching him do it. And so when we get married and now I'm a follower of Christ, I'm like, I have to get a grip on this secret. Or my sons, I have 3 sons, they're going to battle this. Whether they see it or know it, it will pass down. And so it's bigger than just your own sin. It's
That's true.
The stakes are really high. This is a legacy. You're making a decision you think is about you, and it partly is, but it's really about what kind of legacy you're going to leave.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So thanks for putting that in the book, because a lot of Christian books, they just avoid it.
And
you didn't only not avoid it. You said, we've been there. And here's how we navigate it. It's the way to go.
Thanks for your honesty.
Misdirection. You have a whole chapter. And obviously, we don't know what you do as a magician, but we know that you're trying to get us to focus on something that we shouldn't, so that you can. The same thing happens in life. And you write quite a bit in the book about focus on what matters and not. You know, last thought or wisdom for a couple, what would you say? What do we focus on? What don't we?
So with misdirection, people think it's about the magician getting people to look in the wrong place. But if you look in the wrong place, you're not going to experience the astonishment, the wonder that is real, right? Your reaction to that is real, right? So the magician's trying to get you to look in the right place and focus on the right things. And same thing in our marriage. And so in terms of things that I would say to focus on, and we could give a list, but I think seeing on the best in your spouse,
like you talked about,
the transparency, and you know everything about Dave. He shared, he bears it all, but you're not looking at his worst things and going like, I'm going to judge you by this every day. It's like, no, I know your worst, I know your best, but I want to constantly see the best in who you are, because that's how we want to view ourselves. We don't want to view ourselves through. And when we do, it just spirals us down when we just continue to see the negative in ourselves. But I want to bring out the best in her. Anything you would say that way of
just focusing on? Focusing on the good is a really, it's so easy to focus on the bad.
And it's hard to focus on the good sometimes, because we're blinded by the bad, because we've just been rolling it over and over and over in our minds. So I like getting in that habit of seeing the good and maybe even saying it and appreciating it.
Yes, that's huge to appreciate it.
Definitely, out loud, I think speaking kindness and loving things to your spouse out loud and not just writing them, though writing them's helpful, right, is those do change your day. Yeah. With focusing on the bad, one of the illustrations I give is if you held up a quarter, you can hold it far away from you and it doesn't block out much, but the closer that gets to your eyeball, it doesn't make it any bigger, but it appears to be so huge. And I think that's when we focus on the flaws, those flaws can just eclipse every good thing that's going on in your marriage. And Dave, coming full circle back to that couple that's just really going, can we make it through another day? Chances are you have that quarter really close to your eye and you're focusing on all the negative things. But what brought you together in the first place? What did you say on day one? What are those vows? How can I live into those things and into the good that I see in my spouse?
I like that.
So keep doing what you're doing. This is awesome.
Aw, thank you.
It really is. I love the angle.
Me too.
I've never seen this angle. Are there anybody else doing what you're doing? Taking illusion and magic and saying there's principles here that apply to a great marriage?
Not to marriage that we know of. To Christian principles, there's a handful of us out there and a few of those that I've trained up. And and hopefully I'll train up others with the marriage side of it.
Good job, you guys.
Thank you.
You know, I used to really be into magic tricks and illusions when I was younger, like in middle school. And I love this behind-the-scenes approach to the uniqueness of magic and how it can make real-world change in our marriages. It's just a really amazing conversation. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Danny Ray and Kimberly Thompson on Family Life Today. Danny Ray has written a book called No, I Can't Make Your Wife Disappear, A Magician's Guide for a Magical Marriage. Danny talks about him and his wife's relationship as they draw from biblical truths and their own experiences to guide you through things like effective communication, overcoming challenges, and building a lifelong relationship. You can get your copy right now by going online to familylifetoday.com. You can find it in the show notes, or you can give us a call at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And, you know, we are all about helping you with marriages and families. And one of the ways that we can help with both of those is the Family Life Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway. Guess what? It's on sale for more than 40% off right now. And we still have about 20 Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways coming up between now and mid-June. So if you're in a spot right now where you want to be intentional about working on your marriage and have a lot of fun in the process, you can take 3 days and let your focus be on you and your spouse by going to a Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway. You can find all the details about where locations are and the dates by going to the show notes or to familylifetoday.com. Now, tomorrow, we're going to explore the intricacies of love and communication and the power of God's love in our personal journeys together as married couples. Jared and Becky Wilson are going to be here with Dave and Ann Wilson to talk about, so it'll be the Wilsons and the Wilsons, to talk about the challenges and moments of despair in our marriages when things like pornography become a part of the picture. That's tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.